you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, March 30th, 2016, 8 days to the big event. I'm getting excited. In fact, Jason, as you walked into the studio, I showed you our very, very rough draft edition of the program, begging you to help and assist with that, with your graphics expertise and help. So we'll have a nice program. I'm kind of excited as you put feet to it, if you will. You start seeing it coming together, and all the pieces are falling into place. I think we have over 40 businesses involved in the gift box. I was mentioning some of that yesterday, and the volunteer needs. A number of people are saying, hey, I can help on that Wednesday beforehand, assemble the boxes.
Oh,
and
great.
Ice cream scoopers, cake cutters, people to help people be seated. The God Listens, You Can Two signs we're going to have at the doorway, so volunteers to help hand those out. A lot of different tasks. So if you can help, call the station, and we'll get you signed up for that Wednesday or Thursday, next Wednesday or next Thursday. If you haven't registered yet for the event, please do that so we can have all the right chairs set up and the fixings laid out, and it can all come together as we just trust it's going to be a very God-honoring evening. So we're excited about that, the 20th year, all the things that God has done and we believe will do in the days ahead as we remain faithful to his word and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ as the only true way to God. And somebody, I shared this on Monday, Jason, recently made that decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know you've shared over the air the many different times you've had these interesting discussions. I call little Jacob like Mr. Professor, because very bright, sharp mind has really forced you to think through responses. And wow, that's a really good question, Jacob. And kind of got surprised this weekend with his desire after Friday night. Take us through that, because I think it'll be helpful for other people that are maybe praying for their children or wondering, is my child ever going to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Or for other people that maybe still have some questions like Jacob had and has, and we all will continue to have, but I know there were some exciting things happening because of the silent service that you held at the Community Evangelical Free Church, and that was a springboard into getting you home and watching some movies. And take us through that, because I think it'll be a blessing as we welcome Jacob into the faith on Sunday.
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, we prayed like crazy. I mean, my wife and I pray often for our kids, for their salvation. We pray more for their salvation than anything, than, you know, will they be successful? Will they obtain, you know, meet a great wife? Will they live this kind of life? Those things are secondary to us. I mean, we ask the Lord to bless them and keep them and protect them and to guide them and to lead them. But most of our prayers have centered around salvation. And even our prayers at the dinner table for dinner, I mean, we pray often over them before dinner and just for God's mighty work in their life. You know, the blood of Christ washes us clean and makes us white as snow. And we pray that, and all the kids hear it. I mean, from Samuel, who's 2, to Jacob, who's 10. And so we have prayed that often. And we've been, Jacob and I have had many conversations about faith, and we've had many conversations about what real faith looks like and what real faith needs to embody.
And you both attend Bible study fellowship together. So
we attend Bible study fellowship, and so he's been, you know, he's been reading through the Bible. He read through the first 5 books of the Bible last year, and this year through Revelation. And I mean, we've had some really interesting conversations through Revelation. I know that I believe it's Revelation 7 or so, when a third of the earth is gone, and Jacob's like, well, how much, you know, and they did a great job at Bible study fellowship of talking about what that number is. And so I think it was like 2.8 billion people like die right away, like in one fell swoop. And so we really had a powerful conversation on the way home after that night about, will you be a part of that number? What does that look like? And on that day where Jesus says it comes like a thief in the night, you don't know when it comes, will you be ready and prepared for that day? Will you know who you belong to, or will you perish into obscurity, into hell and eternal torment? And I'm very upfront about that. I mean, I don't hide hell like a bad word. I don't hide eternal torment like it's you know, it's just too harsh and we need to be find a nicer way. You know, I used to in years past, you know, say, well, then the enemy. You know, and no, it's the devil. I mean, I want to call him by his name. I want him to know that I know who he is and I know what he does. And so I'm not going to pussyfoot around with who is he. I know who he is. He has a name. And I'm going to call him by that name when I rebuke the work that he seems to try and do in our family, in our churches, and in people's lives. So we had that conversation. We've had a number of conversations like that about the Lamb's Book of Life and is Jacob's name in it. And Jacob said, well, no, it's not. And I really don't know what to do. And I really don't want to, you know, he really has been, I don't want to make a profession of faith yet, really. I mean, we get down to the bare tacks of it. He's like, I just don't want to right now.
And was there some fear of being baptized or some just...
Well, sure, he was very fear. He gets stage fright. He does not like to be the center of attention. He is definitely an introvert. And so... the idea of getting up there and getting in that water and having people watching him and having people stare at him, that was not on his, you know, his radar. It's not in his wheelhouse at all. So that was a big fear that he had, and also just saying that. And what's interesting is when you ask, you know, Jacob will talk a mile a minute. I mean, if you get him on, you talk to him about superheroes, Star Wars, action figures.
Legos.
Legos, music. I mean, that kid will talk. I mean, you'll wish you didn't have the conversation with him because... I mean, he'll just be, and you know this, and you're like, gosh, you're killing me. But when we would talk about faith stuff, he would get real quiet. He just didn't want to talk about it. He just didn't really have it. And I know that that's just God working on his heart. And Jacob's not, Jacob doesn't, he's a very moral kid. You know, he'll come back and he'll say, you know, I can't believe these kids were doing this at school. I don't know why they would want to do that, why they would even think that's funny. And, or, I know it was funny. He was doing an art project at school, and they had newspaper laid out on the table. So while he's doing his art project, while the newspaper's laid on the table, he's reading, like, the community crime report. And he's like, Dad, did you know there's some kid who broke into a bunch of cars? Why would you break into somebody's car? What's the point of that? Why would you take something that doesn't belong to you? And so, you know, he's kind of just a moral kid like that, and he's a thinker. So we've had lots of conversations, lots of prayer. Lots of conversations. In fact, I was sharing with you that we gave out books at our church a couple weeks ago called My Most Wanted, and it's a 40-day devotional. It begins with a list of people that you're going to covet to pray for the next 40 days, and every page takes you through asking and seeking and worshiping and just a guided tour of praying for the lost. And so Jacob was in there. I mean, and I've been praying for him for the last 12 days since I got my book and started using it. And I attribute some of that to that because it's been really good, focused, guided prayer for him. Whereas before I prayed for him, but I didn't pray with this kind of razor-sharp focus. Yeah, so, I mean, fast forward to Good Friday. He was really intentional all week about being helpful during Easter, helping me, wanting to spend time with me, which he likes to spend time with me, but he doesn't always like to help. He doesn't like to work. He knows when he helps me, he usually has
like
to work.
Like most 10-year-old kids.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, we started out the week by we laid out big, huge pieces of paper, and they had to draw an Easter timeline. We gave our kids the opportunity to do it. We wanted to hang them up, and then at dinner that night, we talked about the Easter timeline, and we really tried to make Easter special this year in terms of family because Easter's tough for us. So the first day of the week, we took that day off and we watched movies and everybody got a big Easter egg they could eat after dinner. And we got pizza from, I think, Papa Del's or somewhere. And so we made it a special night. So all week we were kind of just intentionally trying to say we're not going to leave you behind at Easter, which I think has happened sometimes in the past just because of the sheer volume of things that have to happen at Easter. Even last week it went well, and I think I worked 75 hours. So you're thinking it's going well, but you're like, nah.
Yeah.
You know, my wife attributes that sometimes to just me because I'll piddle. If I don't have something to do, I'll piddle. So she's like, leave it alone. Stop. You know, but I still will. So we moved into all that. And then we got to Friday. So he helped me set up for our Good Friday silent service. Helped me on Thursday with that and then on Friday. And then he came back with his mom. And I was kind of working the door and praying for people coming in and out. So Tasha and he went in. And
now, this is Friday night after he participated, and at some point he nailed something on the
cross.
Well,
this is when they came to the service. It was kind of funny because they were in there a long time. And then Jacob came out, you know, and we had the doors closed, so the door opens, and he comes out, and I said, hey, where's your mom? Oh, she's still praying in there. I said, oh, okay. I said, you don't need to pray anymore? I knew what I needed to talk to God about. You know, he was just kind of straight. On the back end, it's kind of funny to be able to now think about the things that he said to me. He said, I knew to talk about it. So a little while later, his mom came out, and then they went home, and we finished up, wrapped up the Good Friday service, turned out all the lights, went home. And he and I needed to finish watching The Passion of the Christ. We had talked this year was going to be the first year we were going to watch it together. And so we made it through about halfway, a little more than halfway through it. And I said, hey, you know, it's Good Friday. You want to finish watching The Passion of the Christ? I would really like to do that. He said, I would love to do that. Let's do that.
And so this is 9:30, 10 at night?
9 at night.
Okay.
It's, yeah, 9:30. So we're watching it, you know, and he's getting, he's on the other side of the room, living room, sitting in a chair and watching it. And he's starting to get, you know, visibly upset, as we all are as we're watching it, you know, the crucifixion scene and that. So I said, hey, buddy, why don't you come over and sit on the couch? I mean, you don't have to sit all the way over there. I mean, let's sit together. So he came over and he sat on the couch and, you know, we got done watching it and, you know, I just said, hey, what was your favorite part? And he told me, well, I really liked when this happened. I said, well, what part did you hate? Dad, I hated when they pounded his hands with those nails because he's so good. Nobody deserves that. Mm. Even bad people don't deserve that, but a good person. And I thought, gosh, you know, that's what Bonhoeffer says, that, you know, it's not even that it was a bad person, but the best person suffered this on our behalf. Never really thinking about, you know, when I share the gospel with people, I have places, I probably have 8 places that I like to go. Romans, Colossians, there's some different places I go. Never Acts 2, and I don't know why I did it. Holy Spirit, I believe. But, you know, we were just talking about the scenes, and his mom said what her favorite scene was and what she didn't like at all. And then I just said, you know what, Jacob, you've seen that, and you've seen the best person suffer on your behalf. You've seen what God did for you because of his great love. And I said, you know, in Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and he preaches this sermon, and it says that the Jews were cut to the bone. And I said, Jacob, when I looked at you and you were so upset, I could tell you were cut to the bone. And he goes, yeah, yeah. And I said, the Jews then said to Peter, they said, what shall we do to be saved? And he said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was, I will never forget the moment. He leaned forward and he said, Dad, can you fill up the baptismal? I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. And for him to say that is huge, because most of the time he just gets quiet. And for him to kind of do that and say that. And so, you know, we went into my kitchen afterwards, after we talked for a few more minutes, because I was like, really? Are you like, really? You know, and then we did like some really long hugs. Just like, and he was crying, and I was crying, and my wife is crying, and she's taking pictures. And we're just trying, you know, we're in the age where you can take pictures of everything and videos of everything. And so we're like doing that, and then I went into the kitchen because I didn't need the paparazzi to take pictures of that moment. So we went in the kitchen, and he and I got on our knees on the kitchen floor, and I'll just never forget that tile floor now, just sitting there and just praying for my son to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then on Easter Sunday, we baptized him. And, I mean, there was no fear. I mean, I thought during, like, Saturday, I thought he was going to, you know, he was going to kind of pull back a little bit and be like, you know, well, I...
Yeah, the reality of
yeah,
the decision.
Yeah, you know, it was late and, you know, I was hungry and I was tired and you showed me that movie. But on Saturday, he was like, no, Jesus is my Savior. He made a little video. He wanted to share it with everybody. And he went to church. And when he got to church, there were people who were working on cleaning up the Good Friday. And he's like, I accepted Jesus. He's telling them, and all the women are hugging him, and he's like, oh, I didn't know you were going to hug me. I wouldn't have told you.
yeah, and I played it Monday, that little video clip that you had sent out, which was so encouraging. I think you private messaged me, but I felt like I could share it with the thousands of people.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you know, it's supposed to be a public proclamation, but I mean, he wanted to do it, and he wanted to get baptized, and so Saturday, while we were cleaning up our Good Friday and setting up for Easter Sunday, he called his grandparents and told all them. I mean, he was just running with it, telling them, you know, I said to Jesus is my Savior, and I'm going to get in that water tomorrow. And he was so excited. Now, you know what's funny is this is what I would tell you, is that, you know, this is how Satan works, because Satan wants to create in us fear that will overtake our joy. You remember when the women are walking towards the resurrection and they see the empty tomb, and the angel says, go and tell the disciples and tell Peter too. And it says that they ran with great fear and joy. And so fear was trying to raise itself up against the joy that God was creating at this moment of knowing that Jesus is alive, that salvation is possible through him, that this act had been done by him. And so I think that's the same way in our life. Satan tries to raise up that old enemy, well, I guess you could call it the enemy, but his old tool of kind of the destruction of our faith, fear. And he raises that up and goes, I'm going to try and make you feel fearful. And so it's really funny, because on Saturday, all of a sudden, Jacob is limping around. And him, like, buddy, what's wrong? He's like, I don't know, my foot really hurts. Hmm. He's like, oh, and I'm thinking, gosh, is he not going to be able to get baptized? Come on, we just set up the water. Are you not going to be, you know, I was just thinking, oh, my gosh. And so, like, about halfway through Saturday, I get this horrendous, like, nasal infection. Hmm. And, like, I can barely, like, I have all this pressure in my nose, and I'm thinking, he's on the attack. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we just buckled down as a family, and we just started praying, and we just started saying, you know what, Lord, we just rebuke the devil's work here. We rebuke mm-hmm. anything that he's trying to do to derail the fact that my son has come to faith. In fact, I remember standing up and saying, you son of a gun. I said, if you want to do it, you want to fight me, you fight me, because I'm going to fight you. I'm going to take you down. I'm going to do it by the blood of Christ. And I'm not going to put up with this because you're not going to pick on my son. He claimed Jesus Christ, and that's it. Mm. That's the way it is. You know, and I was going to do Rocky, you know, like, we're going to go to town because that's my son. And listen, you know what? I mean, that's not happening. And so it was crazy, like, miraculously, like, later on in the evening, he was fine, and I was fine. Well, I was still had a little bit of residual, but it was just crazy how it all worked itself out and how he was trying to come in oppression. And then we had a sweet time of baptizing him on Sunday. Well, you were there, but a baptizing him on Sunday morning. And so I mean, you go to a kid who won't even get up on the stage to get near the baptismal because he's so fearful. And that morning he says to me, he says, you know, I want to take that. Will you let me have the mic for a minute so I can just tell people that Jesus Christ is my Lord? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do you want to do that? He's like, they need to know. And I was like, whoa. So I mean, gave him the mic, and he's like, Jesus is my Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just kind of funny because the kind of kid he is. He's like, Jesus is my Lord. Thought you should know.
Yeah.
You know? I said, well, I think they know you're going to get in the water. It was a sweet time in our family.
Yeah.
I mean, as a father and a follower of Christ, to baptize one of my kids, to baptize my first son, too, my firstborn son, was amazing.
Well, and you had talked earlier off air with me about the conviction you felt, like, how can I be used of God and preach and proclaim his message and lead others to Christ if I'm not doing it at home, but how oftentimes it's so hard in the home for various reasons. And for that parent or that couple or those people, those grandparents that are praying for their loved ones, this is it's a supernatural work, that it's a gift from God, that God revealed himself to Jacob's mind and heart. And we continue to pray that. We know that God doesn't want any to turn from him, to turn away from him. He wants all to know him. And yet our role is to faithfully model Christ, to be a good disciple and an ambassador and pray for these results. So it's a gift from God that you got to witness and see.
Well, you know, and let's just think about it this way. So we had in our, you know, I think it's good to address this, but we had an incident in our community where an 18-year-old boy passed away in his sleep. He had a heart condition, Matthew Prather. In fact, yesterday was his funeral. It happened at First Christian Church, and it was large, a huge outpouring of people in the community coming out and just mourning this loss. And if you're a Christian and you're mourning this loss, if you're a Christian and you're feeling the weight of what we would call a tragedy, you know, a life kind of, we would say taken too soon, but I don't think that's the truth, because Jesus has an appointed time for every single one of us. And this young boy, he was a follower of Jesus Christ. He was active in his youth group, loved the Lord, accepted the Lord, was baptized. If we're Christians and we believe that, and we're feeling, if you are feeling the weight of what happened with this young man, then how can you not share the gospel with your grandkids and with your children and that? Because at any point in time, and we don't know, you know, it wasn't lost on me this last week that as I baptized my son and as he came into the family of faith, that this other young man left us. He was delivered home by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was taken from us by Jesus and delivered to a better home, a greater place. But at a very young age. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long I have Jacob for. I hope I have him for a really long time. But I don't know how long I have him for. And so while I do have him, my goal, my singular goal was to make sure that when that day came, when his appointed time was done, when his appointed time was to leave this place, this earth, that he knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was. I think it's in John chapter 8, Jesus says, truly, truly, if you believe in me, you will not see death. And that doesn't mean that death won't come to us. That doesn't mean that death won't overtake our bodies. But that means that at the moment that this body dies, I don't see death. I only see the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming, and he's coming to deliver me into the throne room of God with without blemish and with great joy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you what, of all the things I want for my son, that's the thing I want most. That's the thing I want for most for all of my kids. I don't want to be in heaven, and I don't know what it looks like for you or I to be in heaven. Mm-hmm. I have no idea, and the Bible speaks very little about it. But I don't want to look around and go, where are they? Where are they? And then have the startling realization, and again, I don't know how that all works itself out, that I never did any of it so that they would be there. And so, you know, I'm going to press in. If you say you love people, if you say you love your neighbors, if you say you love your community, if you say you love your family, then those are gospel places. Those are places you have to be preaching the gospel, because you as a Christian want those people to be alive, not just momentarily, but for eternity. You want them to be lost to obscurity. You want them and eternal torment, but you want them to live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so one of my prayers, as this has happened in and amongst our community, has been that we would become a community that wants to share and see the gospel proclaimed. And that's because we want the things that God wants, right? That none should perish and all should come to repentance. We don't want people to be lost to eternity and torment. And so, along with Jacob's baptism, I really felt this desire. And really, I think it was such a gift from God, because after that, I told my wife, I said, God's given me, I can't hold back now. Like, I'm sorry, but wherever I'm at, I mean, I was at the coffee shop.
The new and improved Jason Schiffo, Jason Schiffo.
Well, I don't know if it's new and improved, but I mean, I was at the coffee shop yesterday, and I saw this guy that I've been talking to every now and then, and I said, hey, you know what? I said, I've been just messing around with you for a while. Now I want to just get this straight. I said, do you know who Jesus Christ is? He goes, I don't want to talk about any of that. I said, well, then you and I don't know how much more we're going to talk, because if you talk to me, that's probably what we're going to be talking about. Mm. And I said, I love you, and I still want to spend time with you, and I find you to be so fascinating and interesting, but just please know that I care about your soul, and because I care about your soul, I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And just so you know that we have to have this conversation, because I love the Lord way too much and I love you way too much to not have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we need to be emboldened by these situations. And God gives us pictures of people. We get to see that salvation. I mean, and then Jacob's baptism, that was in public. That's a public proclamation so that we all can taste that salvation and that in that and then go, I know who else needs to get in there. I know who else needs to get in there. And then have that drive and push us towards conversations with those people.
If you've been tuned in since the beginning of this program, I'm sure your heart is touched. And don't we serve a glorious God that cares about young ones and senior saints and everyone in between? If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. And maybe something is stirring in your heart even right now, and you need to talk to somebody about this relationship with God, or you have questions about baptism, or you need to know a little more about this Christian faith, and we would love that you would get your questions answered by local area pastors where you can grow and they can foster that development in your spiritual walk, right in a local body where you can meet with other believers. But if you want to talk with somebody right now, there's an 800 number. These are trained counselors, wonderful people that can talk about a relationship with God or answer your questions about prayer and pray with you. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.